would go into Exodus International and pretend I was trying to change. That's the only way to see what they're truly about, when there's not the spin, is when they're not trying to witness to you and convince you that they've really changed. When you go undercover, the truth comes out.
And so here things are always good. My fingers are trembling, my hands have gone blue.
You got to use your imagination, imagination, yeah.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Wartime Trump's Don't Ask Discharges, an ex-gay expose brings skeletons out of the closet, and electropop that 70s sound and feminist funk from the audiophile. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Rick Watts.
And filling in for Cindy Friedman, I'm Kathy Sanchez.
With News Wrap. A summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending March 27, 2004. U.S. military discharges for homosexuality have dropped dramatically under so-called stop-loss orders in effect since combat began in the Middle East. SLDN, the Service Members Legal Defense Network, a group organized to aid victims of the so-called Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy established in 1993, this week issued its annual report called Conduct Unbecoming. Discharges increased steadily over the history of the policy to reach a record high of nearly 1,300 in 2001. But the total dropped to about 900 in 2002 and less than 800 in 2003, a level not seen since 1995. SLDN spokesman Steve Rawls told the Washington Blade that the drop continues a historical trend that whenever the country is at war, gay and lesbian discharges decrease. The Pentagon seems to want to have it both ways. The talents of gay servicemen and women at times of war, and federally sanctioned discrimination at times of peace. SLDN's report says, the Bush administration and its Pentagon leaders continue to ignore the growing epidemic of anti-gay harassment within the armed forces. Despite the adoption of a comprehensive anti-harassment action plan, Defense Department leaders refuse to implement the plan and continue to turn a blind eye to dangerous harassment within the ranks. The Pentagon has not yet offered an official response to the report.
A Spanish trans woman this week won her appeal to rejoin the Navy, which will make her the first transgender to serve openly in Spain's military. After 8 years in uniform, the junior petty officer, formerly known as José Antonio Gordo Pantoja, had been dismissed as unfit to serve when she began hormone treatment 2 years ago. In her new identity as María del Mar, she appealed her dismissal to a Marine tribunal, citing a royal decree for legal recognition of sex changes. After hearing extensive medical and psychological expert testimony, the tribunal accepted what it called her alteration of sexual identity and found it would not interfere with her duties as a maintenance mechanic.
The Japanese city of Yame is prepared to protect the civil rights of transsexuals, but is not yet ready to extend equal treatment to same-gender couples, Kyoto News Service reported. This week, the Fukuoka Prefecture City's Assembly approved most of a bill designed to end gender discrimination and sexual harassment, including discrimination and harassment based on what it called sexual identity disorder. The draft ordinance also added other gender issues as a protected category, and city officials explained to the Assembly that clause would protect same-gender couples. But Assembly members forced its deletion, expressing concern that the broad language might also protect pedophiles and other sex crime perpetrators.
Zanzibar's government has drafted a bill to increase the maximum penalty for sodomy to life imprisonment and to criminalize same-gender marriages. Apparently, the move was sparked by reports of a gay wedding last year and increasing visibility of gays and lesbians. Zanzibar, an island in the Indian Ocean that's become a popular tourist destination, is a somewhat autonomous part of Tanzania where Muslims are politically dominant. Current law, dating back to British colonial rule, provides for up to 14 years behind bars for sex between men. The new proposal would up that to 25 years to life and add a 7-year sentence for sex between women. Gay and lesbian marriages would be punished with up to 5 years imprisonment and a substantial fine for both the parties and the person marrying them. Although the bill is expected to pass, some believe it's just political grandstanding. They question whether such a statute would actually be used any more than the current version, which is rarely enforced.
In South Africa, the two suspects in last year's brutal massacre at the Sizzler's gay massage parlor in Cape Town have each received 9 life sentences for murder, plus a total of 40 years for other related charges. Perpetrators Adam Worst and Trevor Thays did not testify, and their defense teams called no witnesses. But their advocates claimed the men had planned only robbery and turned to violence after one victim attacked them. The prosecution claimed the men came prepared to kill all witnesses, bringing with them the rope and tape used to tie them up, the guns and knives used to kill them, and gasoline intended to torture them. Sole survivor Quentin Taylor testified for the prosecution, which said that the crime would not have been solved without him. During the trial, Cape Town High Court Judge Nathan Erasmus noted that Thays' confession to police mentioned that his girlfriend had left him for a woman, and the judge questioned specifically whether defendants were homophobic in character. In pronouncing sentence, he denounced Worst and Thays' utter callousness and brutalness.
In the U.S., a United Methodist Church court found this week that an openly lesbian minister's partnership did not violate church law. Church law, the Book of Discipline, states that homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching and that self-avowed practicing homosexuals are not to be accepted as candidates, ordained as ministers, or appointed to serve in the United Methodist Church. There is no question that Seattle, Washington minister Karen DeMond is self-avowed and practicing. She declared both in a letter to her bishop in 2001, which led to the current trial. She also married her partner, Meredith Savage, in Oregon shortly after Multnomah County began issuing licenses to same-gender couples. But more than a score of expert witnesses defended her with arguments that the Bible is not at all clear on the subject. 11 of the 13 jurors agreed that nothing in the Bible constituted a declaration and that the Book of Discipline does not bar gays and lesbians from the clergy. The other two jurors were undecided. It would have required 9 guilty votes to convict DeMond, and there is no further appeal. It's not clear when DeMond will return to active ministry, as she's been on family leave caring for her ailing son. Like other U.S. churches, the UMC has been arguing for decades regarding same-gender relationships, and non-gay minister Jimmy Creech was defrocked in 1999 for blessing them. The struggle will resume in late April when the church convenes its National Quadrennial General Conference.
Among developments on the civil marriage front in the U.S. this week, the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee held hearings on the proposed anti-gay federal marriage amendment to the National Constitution, while its leading proponents unveiled a slightly modified version of its text. Republican Senator Wayne Allard of Colorado claims that striking 5 words from the already brief proposal will reinforce the authority of state legislatures to determine benefits issues related to civil unions or domestic partnerships, while still preserving its main goal of restricting marriage exclusively to one man and one woman. While it's debatable if this change would actually alter the impact of the amendment or even its chances of advancement this year, it did provide Democrats on the committee grounds to delay the rest of the hearings.
In Oregon, State Attorney General Hardy Myers threatened a lawsuit should Benton County commissioners follow through on their plan to issue marriage licenses to same-gender couples. The commission took that threat so seriously that Benton County will not issue marriage licenses, even to heterosexual couples, until the Oregon Supreme Court has ruled on the issue.
Meanwhile, Multnomah County continues to issue marriage licenses to gays and lesbians, but its commission this week began a series of public hearings for constituents who felt the decision was made without adequate participation. Tourism interests told of the benefits they've reaped from the influx of honeymooners.
In New Paltz, New York, another 25 couples were wed by another 6 Unitarian Universalist ministers. Mayor Jason West, who began the local solemnizing of same-gender relationships, lost his appeal of a court order barring him from continuing to do so. The first 2 Unitarian ministers who'd continued the ceremonies after West was charged with misdemeanors this week pleaded not guilty to the charges brought against them in turn by the Ulster County District Attorney.
And finally, the world's first openly transsexual member of parliament, New Zealand's Georgina Beyer, has announced that she will not seek a third term. In fact, she had only run for her current term after intense urging from her Labor Party. Politics wearies her, she says, while responding to day-to-day constituency issues is what she finds rewarding. Referring to her rural riding, she told reporters, "We've made history, Wairarapa and I." She plans to revive her acting career and return to the international lecture circuit. But while she's leaving national politics, she seems to be open to returning to a local office. Previously, the town of Carterton had made her the world's first openly transsexual mayor. If public interest warrants, she may make a run for mayor of Wellington in October.
That's News Wrap for the week ending March 27th, 2004. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK, Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm Rick Watts.
And I'm Kathy Sanchez.
And so here is a fiendish girl later in the program.
I'm sentimental, so I walk in the rain. I've got some habits even I can't explain. Start for the corner, turn up in Spain. Why try to change me now?
When a gay activist photographed a prominent ex-gay poster boy partying in a gay bar 4 years ago, the scandal in the national press shook the religious rights reparative therapy movement to its foundations. It also started a new mission for then-Human Rights Campaign spokesperson Wayne Besson, the man who held the camera that fateful night. Anything But Straight, Unmasking the Scandals and Lies Behind the Ex-Gay Myth, is Besson's extensive and sometimes alarming study of the groups that claim they can cure homosexuality. This Way Out's Ralph Radabaugh talks with Besson about his findings.
Could you tell our listeners exactly what does ex-gay mean?
Ex-gay is the process where right-wing political groups try to change gay people into heterosexuals through prayer or outdated therapy.
What therapies are they using to un-gay?
Really bizarre therapies such as using a rubber band, meaning when you walk down the street, you wear a rubber band on your wrist, and when you see somebody attractive, you snap it. And that's supposed to snap you into heterosexuality. Other times, they try to have exorcisms and get Satan out of the gay person. They want to release the demon of homosexuality. Other things are a little bit more simple. For instance, fasting, trying to make women more feminine or men more masculine through lipstick seminars for lesbians and touch football for gay men. Intrauterine memory recovery is another thing I discovered. You're supposed to take a tennis racket and bang a pillow while yelling the name of your same-sex parent. Boom! A flashback will occur if you do that. And you can remember what went wrong while you were in your mother's womb, and therefore the reason you became gay will be revealed. These are the kind of techniques that are commonplace.
There is an entire, and I would guess very profitable, ex-gay movement out there. Give us a brief history of the movement.
The movement started in 1973 in San Rafael, California, with a group called Love in Action. The founder, of course, of Love in Action now says it doesn't work and says it's a fraud. And the second group was Exodus International, which is the largest group today. Exodus was co-founded by two men, Michael Bussey and Gary Cooper. They later left their wives and married each other. Colin Cook with Homosexuals Anonymous, he was trying to heal people through a 12-step program. He got kicked out for giving nude massages and having phone sex with the very people he was trying to cure. And of course, these failures extend to today with John Polk, the leader of Love Won Out, which is with Focus on the Family. He just left that group, but I photographed him in a gay bar. So obviously, this is really a history of follies and failures.
I understand you infiltrated some of these groups.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. You know, I'd go and play dress-up. I would go into Exodus International, whether they're national conferences or sometimes the smaller ministries, and pretend I was trying to change. That's the only way to see what they're truly about, when there's not the spin, is when they're not trying to witness to you and convince you that they've really changed. When you go undercover, the truth comes out. And the truth is that there's a circle of miserable, lonely people who are what they call a journey. And you have to go and talk to these people undercover to really get the truth. You can't get the facts if you go as yourself. My favorite example of my undercover work, I sent in the most beautiful boy I knew. And I sent him to an overnight seminar, PFOX seminar, which is Parents and Friends of Ex-Gays. It's amazing, but they all knocked on his door at 2 a.m. and wanted to have a 2 a.m. prayer-hugging session. He didn't return the next night. He was a little bit spooked. I think it shows you really what these are about. There are a lot of examples of people come from small areas in this country who have never met anybody openly gay. They go to these conferences to change, and instead they do change. They come out of the closet. So it's a positive change in some cases.
Tell us some of the most outrageous lies these groups tell.
The most outrageous one to me was the story of Ann Polk. Ann Polk said she was an ex-lesbian and she was married to John Polk, the king of the ex-gay ministries, who I photographed in the gay bar. The right wing had, in 1998, had a $1 million advertising campaign. They put full-page ads in the New York Times, USA Today, and the Washington Post, among other publications. The first ad in the New York Times was a full page of Ann Polk with the headline, "Wife, Mother, and Former Lesbian." In this ad, she said she had never been attracted to a woman before, had no sexual attraction. Well, of course, I read all their material, and I read a book she had written. Not only did she have attraction to men before these ministries, she had an animal magnetism towards a man. She lied about being a lesbian, but she certainly, in this expensive ad that probably ran about $100,000.
Without giving everything away in your book, what are some of the juicy scandals you've uncovered?
The best scandal of all is the story of Michael Johnston. Michael Johnston was Jerry Falwell's ex-gay. Mr. Johnston was also the star of their right wing's TV ad campaign. He said he had escaped homosexuality through the power of Jesus Christ. I got a call not too long ago that said he was having orgies in Virginia Beach, although he was HIV positive. And during these orgies, he was unsafe, and even talking people into being unsafe. It was pretty horrifying. And again, this is Jerry Falwell's example of how gay people can change. So I took the train from New York City down to Virginia Beach to check it out for myself, and what I found was true. And I talked to one young man who was unaware of his status, fighting back tears in a bar in Norfolk, Virginia, and said, "Michael Johnston ruined my life." Instead of being honest, though, about their failures, groups like the American Family Association and Jerry Falwell said nothing until I uncovered the scandal. And what they did was they shuffled him off to a sex addiction facility in the cover of night in Dry Ridge, Kentucky. Couldn't even find it on the map if you tried.
Why'd you write this book, and what do you hope comes of it?
When I started working for the Human Rights Campaign as a spokesperson in 1998, the right wing launched that $1 million ad campaign. And I was in charge of monitoring it, and I started learning a lot. And while I was doing this, I kept meeting people who had escaped these ministries and went on to live happy, fulfilled lives as openly gay men and women. And I started getting emails and letters every single day. "Thanks, you saved my life." And it became something that was very interesting to me, and in a way I could help people tangibly. I could see the results of the work, and I became more and more interested. Even people who initially would support these ministries, if they hear what is really going on and the history behind this, can't really support them.
That was Wayne Besson, author of Anything But Straight, Unmasking the Scandals and Lies Behind the Ex-Gay Myth, in conversation with Ralph Radabaugh. You can get more information about the Harrington Park Press book at anythingbutstraight.com.
Nobody can tell you there's only one song worth singing. They might try to sell you, 'cause it hangs them up to see someone like you. But you gotta make your own kind of music, sing your own special song, make your own kind of music, even if nobody else sings along. Sing along. You can turn the world on with her smile. Who can take a nothing day, certainly make it all seem worthwhile? Well, it's you girls and you should know it. With these glances and every little movement you show it, love is all around you, don't need to waste it. You can have a town, why don't you take it? Everybody else is alone.
Hi, I'm Matt Yee, Hawaii's favorite cabaret artist, and I want to thank you for listening to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. Mahalo.
A lead singer's solo debut, a new twist on pomp rock, and a band of sisters headline this month's report from The Audiophile.
I describe the style of my music as lush and moody electropop with very strong and layered vocals. This CD and So Here was based on fictional characters and stories that I came upon and different relationships with characters that really spoke to me.
Look at me, darling. Figure it out. I know my ego is big, but still and all, look at me, honey.
The debut CD for Philadelphia artist Bill Budd is called And So Here. Hi, I'm Chris Wilson.
I'm J.D. Doyle, and you're listening to Audiophile. Bill's pure voice is perhaps the strongest instrument of his brand of electronic indie pop.
And so here things are always good. And so here things always go like. So here I am, still in this place. And so here we are.
Bill Budd is also the lead singer of a band called Cold Sun. And you can find out more about And So Here, his solo album, and his band at www.coldsun.com. That's www.coldson.com.
My fingers are trembling, my hands have gone blue. My lungs are now gasping for air, it is true. I find my little self scared in this cage. But 100 milligrams would take it away.
The album Fiendish by Fido may remind you of the Moody Blues or David Bowie or other classic rock sounds of the 70s. And with this album, that's a good thing.
He is able to evoke the spirit of that sound and also update it with a masterful union of his own voice, perfect backups, and instrumentation.
My musical style is sort of, I don't know, I call it pretentious space folk. It's classic folk rock, but there's some humor in it, and it's probably a little artsy-fartsy. People get on my case and they say, don't be too disparaging of your own music, but I don't know, I recognize that. I make my music for myself, and it is whimsical and sort of anything goes.
The ghost is very still, captive of the past, trapped inside of nothing, 'cause nothing seems to last. The world is thin and slippery, difficult to grasp. Peace might come, but what a price you ask. Again.
You can learn more about the album Fiendish by Fido at www.bloodfish.com.
Sister Funk is a five-piece, all-female band from Connecticut. And the follow-up to their first album, Pursuit of the Groove, is just called Girl.
You got to use your imagination, yeah.
According to band member Troy, one of the elements of the group effort to pick the band's name is their exuberant 70s-style funky sound.
We all felt very strongly and passionate about having something to do with females, femininity, strength, just a name that basically described who we were in the style of music that we perform. And funk is kind of that upbeat, positive vibe style, so when we linked the two together, we knew that was going to be the perfect name for us.
All the lovers, fighters, and all you outsiders, watch as she takes the stage. Take a place. All her drinks on the house. Not one of the crowd drops a level two, lays it down. She got you dreaming, scheming. Everybody's screaming. The girl, she takes a bow.
Find out more about Sister Funk and their album Girl at www.sisterfunk.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas, 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by J.D. Doyle, Chris Wilson, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm Chris Wilson.
And I'm J.D. Doyle. Keep listening.
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Rick Watts, Kathy Sanchez, Graham Underhill, Fenceberry, Rex Walkner, Ralph Radabaugh, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Adele Anderson and Matt Yee performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by a grant from Clarissa Pincola Estes, La Sociedad de Guadalupe Foundation, and through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. You, too, can help keep this program on the air and get some queer history and culture CDs as our gifts. For all the details, log on to thiswayout.org or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WOJB Hayward, Wisconsin, KUOI Moscow, Idaho, CFRU Guelph, Ontario, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Please stay tuned.